Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 39. Psalm 39. And just about the time you think I've forgotten that, I'm going to read it. Psalm 39. Dr. Randy, thank you for letting me come. Church, happy to be here. I met some of you earlier and had a chance to say hello. Some of you I've known before and met, and it's good to be here in the church. I made a pass through here when I was president of the convention and was here at this church, but I don't believe it was in this room that we met. It was somewhere else in these environs somewhere. I want to say a word about tonight. Don't miss tonight's service. I honestly believe what I'm about to say is really the truth. I'm not just kidding. If you'll be here for tonight's service, probably a week or two before you die, if you have halfway good faculties about you, there's a real likelihood that you'll remember part of this message tonight. You're not going to forget this message. You say, well, I'm not coming. I'm going to ask somebody else how it went. That's not going to work because we're not going to tell you. So you have to be present to win. Amen. So I hope you'll be here tonight for that service. And then I wanted to just for, what do they call it, full disclosure, to let you know that I now work for you and try to be a help in what you do here at the Tennessee Baptist Convention. I'm part of the staff here, work with Brother Randy Davis, who many of you, of course, know. And that's a big deal going on now. I am here because there's a real urgency among the people of this convention in Tennessee that we do more now in discipleship, evangelism, baptisms, and reaching the world around us. This illustration and this event coming up is perfect to stress the fact that we need to get out there and get among the people. What you're doing in this, what you've talked about reaching 50,000 homes, letting them know you care and you love them. Nothing could be better than that. And I want to say to you frankly and forthrightly, you need to come up with a very, 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 very good reason that'll stand up in front of God if you're going to chicken out on being a part of this. Did I say that pretty straight? You say, well, careful now, you're a guest. I know, but I am one of you, and I really know what sort of circumstances need to take place here in our country today and in our state today and in our communities. And what they're trying to do here and help us to do is exactly where we must go and what we must do to get it done. Did you find Psalm 39? Well, if you didn't, give up. I got it, and I know where I'm reading. I'm only reading one verse, verse 7. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Psalm 39, 7. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in you. And because of the time crunch this morning and because of just need to get right into this, I cannot imagine that you're going to hear a message any simpler than the one you're about to hear. It's going to be short because of the time, but it's going to be extraordinarily simple. And I've made it that way, realizing where I was this morning and the time, but also believing that it is entirely possible for something to be so simple that it can become absolutely profound. So what I'm really reaching for this morning in our time together is simplicity that becomes profundity. In other words, you'll say, that is so clear. Anybody ought to get it. That's really what I'm trying, how I'm trying to communicate this morning. General MacArthur of Korea and World War II military fame, he said one time in a book that I read about his life and some comments he had made, he said that he had looked back over all of his wartime experiences and struggles in the battlefield and things like that. And he said he had discovered something that was very extraordinary to him, that every defeat defeat, every defeat, every lack of victory could always be traced back to two words. Imagine that. He said everywhere there was a defeat or a lack of victory, you could trace that back to just two words. And those words were these. Too, T-O-O-L-A-T-E. Too late. MacArthur said it. He found out it was not a matter of that the soldiers did not want to do it. They wanted to carry out their mission. They were trained and committed to it. It wasn't that they weren't equipped to do it. It wasn't that they didn't understand how to do it. It wasn't that they didn't have an urgency about them to do it. It's just a matter that they waited. And they waited. And they waited. And then it's too late. It was over. They missed their opportunity. And many times, multiplied thousands of people were destroyed simply because they, what was it? Waited. That's right. The psalmist is saying, and now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in you. And when I read that verse, thinking about us being together, when I read that verse, I thought about getting in the shoes or the garment of the psalmist, and I thought how we struggle with all the things in our life. Just think of all the stuff you've been thinking about since you've been here in the last 15 minutes that you got to do, you got to be, you got to be a part of, just gazillions of things, to say nothing about lunch. I mean, we just got all this stuff in front of us that we've got to do, but if we aren't careful, if we're not careful, we end up putting the main thing off, just caught up in all the trivia of what goes on. But we cannot afford to wait too late with eternal things. Not with eternal things. That's why I was leaning toward you when I talked about going to these homes and these houses and these places out there. You say, well, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can do it. Of course you can do it. I mean, you do it every day. You go around town, you say hello to people. Watch out, don't bump my car. Watch, that's my dog. You're interacting with people all the time. You can do this. Anybody can do that. It's just a matter of, are you going to put it off? And say, yeah, I can do that, but I'm not going to do it this time. See, that's what kills us. That's what gets us to in the shape we're in today in this country. And you say, well, are you talking about politics? No, I am not talking about politics. I'm talking about the spiritual condition of this nation, which is in a rough shape. And we have the responsibility to delay no longer. To delay no longer in our own spiritual journey, and to delay no longer in our collective responsibility to share the gospel. We cannot keep on putting it off. We need to do it. We need to do it now. Because people out there will die before next Sunday. When you come back to warm up the pew, they will be out in eternity. And most of them, not a few, most of them, the road is broad and there are many that are on it. Most of them will not be with Jesus in heaven. They will be in a literal burning hell. And we will still be saying, well, you know, if I just had time, if I could just do that, too late. Now, you say, when are you going to start preaching? I'm in it. This is not your typical Oldsmobile. I'm in it right now. You'll be relieved at that. I'm in it. I do what I'm doing now all the time, preaching. I preach all the time. That doesn't mean I'm good at it. I just preach all the time. I preach all the time, all the time, just all the time. I preach everywhere all the time. I preach It's nothing unusual for me to preach in three countries and three states in America in 1 week. There is nothing unusual about that for me. Yeah, I just preach all the time. I preach in big churches, and I preach in no churches, and I preach on street corners, and I preach in hallways. I preach all the time. I preach the largest crowd I've ever been in front of to speak for the Lord has been 350,000. That's preacher talk for any time in the last 3 years. Just a few months ago, I preached to 33,000 in one setting. And the thing about it is there were only 9,000 in the room. I preached where there were only five or six in a hut a few weeks ago. I preach all the time. And here's what I'm saying. You should think I'm a good preacher. But see, get this. I know you. You're not fooling anybody. I see you all every day of my life. You just change your heads a little bit. That's all. I know you. Every one of these crowds this size are just about the same. In this room right now, we have, and it's not because I'm pry, but I get in on the exit polls. People say things to me after it's over. In fact, some have already told me about some of you before the service started. I just can't remember. I got them mixed up who you are, but they were saying, we have some people here today. The exit polls, I get emails, people say in the parking lot, hey, did you know? People say down at the restaurant, hey, did you know? I understand who we are here in this room. Here's who we've got in this room. Good, law-abiding, well-intended people. That's right. We don't have a bunch of serial killers in here, mass murderers. They don't show up at these meetings much. Now, one or two of you, I have you under suspicion, but I'm keeping an eye on you. But we have well-intended people who know very well that the reason they're here, we want to do better. That's why I'm here today. I hope I come away from here better off, that I'm living more like the Lord wants me to, that I've done the right thing today and I've made the right moves and taken the right steps and made the right stand to be more of what the Lord wants to be. More. That's what I want to be for the Lord. That's why we come. But the killer in it is we wait to make our move. That's it. For instance, in this room right now. Now, I know this is true. I won't miss it much. In this room right now, there are probably 50 people who need to be baptized. You need to be baptized. You say baptism doesn't save you, right? But don't say it isn't important. Baptism is very important. It's that one of the first gigantic steps of commitment. The Ethiopian eunuch, as soon as he got saved, he said, let me get in the water. Here it is. He understood that was a big lick to let know that he was a believer. Some of you, you've been thinking about it, you've been praying about it. You've never been baptized. Or you haven't been what we call scripturally baptized. You should be baptized after you ask Christ in your heart to save you. Many times people are like that. Because if you got baptized before you got saved, like if you were christened or something like that, that is not what we call baptism out of the Bible. Baptism is where they get you up there and they put you all the way under. Or they get you in a creek or river or somewhere. They put you all the way under, like death, burial, and resurrection. And you need to do that because that's the right thing to do. And you've been thinking about that, but you know what? You just haven't done it yet. Some of you in this room, I would say probably in a crowd like this, there are probably 25 or 30 of you in this room. You're not sure if you died out here in a car crash between now and lunch that you'd go to heaven. You're just not sure about it. You would say, I hope so. I think I would. I want to think I would. I wish I would. But you don't know really for sure. And you're struggling with that. And you're going to clear that up. But you haven't done it yet. See, it's not because you're bad. It's just because we're waiting. And then some of you know very well you need to come to the Lord. You've been thinking about it, you pray about it. You may have talked to somebody here about it, but that hasn't happened, you see. And some of you, you should be a member of this church. You say, well, being a member of a church doesn't save you. We know that. We know that. Who do you think you're talking to? We know that doesn't save you. But it is important in the journey of our faith. It's sort of like being on a team and refusing to wear the uniform. I mean, we need you here for the kingdom of God. We need you here because you're important and because we need all the help we can get in our lives and in our stand for the Lord here. This is a big deal. This is a good deal. This is a great thing, the church. You say, well, I've heard them say a lot of bad things. That's okay. Send them to me. They can say all the bad things they want to about church, but I guarantee you when I get through with them, I will top them every time with all the good things the church does and all the stands the church does. This is the crowd you need to be with. And this is a good church. This is a church that will stretch you and grow you and challenge you and meet with you and be a part of your life. And you'll be a part of its life. Church is a wonderful thing. It's a big deal in the journey of our faith. And you've been talking about it. I'm not telling you anything new, but nothing's happened yet. You need to get in, right? You need to get in. Some of you ought to be tithing. You say, how on earth did he get over there to that? I'm a Baptist preacher. You need to be tithing. You say, have you heard there is an economical problem we are having out here about jobs? Listen, that's the key. Become a tither. I was just in an office of a man who lost $700,000 trying to beat the stock market. How would you encourage that man? You know what I told him? You got away from tithing, didn't you? He said, yeah, but that's not how I lost it. I said, I know that, but you quit tithing. If I was a betting man, I bet you quit tithing 3 or 4 years ago. He said, I did. And I put the money in gold. I said, and you're where now? And he said, well, I lost. I'm not saying if you're putting your money in gold, you're going to lose it all. I'm just saying he did. The way he did it. You know what his remedy was? You know what the crazy guy that lost $700,000 did? He started tithing again with nothing. Hey, that's a big deal, isn't it? Church really got a bonus out of that. Tithing nothing. Do you know what? That guy's almost back to where he was now. Just in a matter of months. Because he just tried to do right. That's all. He tried to do. That's a big deal in our life, doing right. And we really get our spiritual oil check when it gets down to the money, don't we? Doing right. Well, see, that's who we are today. Can you imagine what would happen if everybody left this room in a minute and went to the parking lot and we were all just where we needed to be? We'd made our commitments. We were ready to meet Jesus. We were on our way, prepared to share that with anybody, anywhere, at any time, bar nothing. There'd be a revolution in this community. There'd be a revolution in our home and in our life. This would be one of the happiest days we've ever had. But people just don't do it. Reckon why that is. Reckon why that is. They just don't do it. I think many times they're waiting on the wrong things. Sometimes people are waiting on a feeling. They say, well, you know, I don't feel like today's the day. That's a mistake. You can't wait on feelings. The Bible's clear. Matthew 24:24. I don't have time to go there and read it, but I'll tell you what it says. Matthew 24:24. Jesus speaking. It's in the red letters. He said, there are going to some come, and you better watch out for them. There will be false Christ with a capital C. They're going to be acting like I am. They're going to act like that they are like I am. And they're going to show you signs and wonders. Matthew 24:24. They're going to show you signs and wonders. What he was saying was, be careful about those miracle-looking things. Be careful about the emotional thing. Be careful about the feely things. Now, I believe that we all have emotions. Sure, I certainly do. We all have emotions. Good thing. Nothing wrong with the emotion. But you cannot drive your spiritual life by emotions. You drive your spiritual life by faith and confidence in the Lord and in the Word. Yeah. That is an unhealthy thing. What's that? I haven't given you my Vietnam testimony, but this does not go along with it when that happens. I'm glad you're at least one row back. What do you think? Was that, do I need to check my pacemaker or what? Is that a signal for more time or you're tired of hearing me? Hello, how we doing? Okay, back on track. Nobody knows. Suits me. I work fine in that crowd. I don't know much either. You're hearing me? Back. Listen, man, I just work here. Hey, this is, don't take this off my time. This is on church time. How about it? Huh? I'm always afraid to go back here. I'm afraid the Fruit of the Loom jingle will come on. You know where all these chords go, you'd know what I mean. What do you think?
I found it. Try now.
Try now. Okay. Clip it to your belt. Don't come over here. Okay, that's on the church's time. Your lunch, the church, that's not my preaching time. Where was I? I guess I'll have to start over. Hell and the devil will do anything to keep you in that seat. But it ain't gonna work. So why will we wait? I want to urge you, stop the waiting. Just say today, like the psalmist, Lord, I get it. This waiting game is fool's play. I'm not waiting anymore. That's what the psalmist said. He looked around and he evidently deliberated and reasoned, and then he looked toward heaven and said, I get it. And now, Lord, I got it. I'm not waiting anymore because my hope is in you. It's not in this stuff here. It's not in the fear. It's not in the facts. It's not in the factors. It's not in the, it's my hope is in you. And after all, you're God Almighty and you can do it. And here's how it works. I do want you to see this, and I think I'll just shut it down right here and say getting electrocuted. Only kidding. Romans, I want you to write this down whether you look it up or not, because before it's over, before Monday is over, you will have used this verse with somebody. So get it. Romans 12, verse 3, the last few words of verse 3. Now, of course, I'm aware that there's a lot going on in the book of Romans and in this chapter, but here is what you cannot deny. Listen to the last words of verse 3 of Romans chapter 12. God hath dealt or given to every man or every person the measure of faith. You can't get away from that. The word is saying God has provided everybody with a measure of faith. Everybody in the house has some faith. That's it. You have it. And now some people decide to place their faith in their intellect, some in their job. Some put their faith in their bank account. Most of those are dwindling away right now, but many people put their faith in a lot of things, but everybody has some faith. Everybody in the room has some faith. The question is, how will we apply that faith? Now, I am going to tell you something here that's revolutionary. It really, really is to the body of Christ usually, because most of them don't get it. I think you will, or you already know this, so I'm just reminding. But a lot of people don't. And this is the part where you will be able to help somebody tomorrow at work or at school. Faith, everybody has some, right? Says it in the Bible. Everybody, you got a little faith somewhere. And faith operates exactly, no difference whatsoever, as does the headlights on your automobile. That's a big deal, what I just said. That's the way faith works. Tonight when you return, This service is turning out pretty unforgettable, but tonight, I promise it'll be unforgettable. When you return tonight, and if it's dark outside and you leave, you will turn on your lights, but they won't shine to your house, right? Do like this if I'm right. Do like, just like chicken eating corn. Do just like that. In the balcony. Help us now. Help an old preacher get us out for lunch. Do like that. All right? When you turn on your lights tonight to go home, they will not shine to your house. There are a lot of reasons. Number one, they're not bright enough. Number one, you have to go around curves, down in holes, up over hills, all that stuff. So they don't shine you that far. But what do? Do you just sit down, turn off the lights, start crying, and try to go to sleep in the car and wait till daylight Monday morning? Nah. No. You do. You just turn on the light, and you start following the light you've got, right? Just a light. It just goes right over to there, but you just follow it. And it's a miracle almost, because you'll get out there to the street, and you say, oh, no, what am I going to do? I got to go down this way, and the light's over there in the bushes. What will I do? Well, don't give up. Don't despair. Just turn your wheel in the way you feel you need to go. And watch, that light will run, jump over bushes, go down around buildings, and hop out in the road. And it'll be right there when you need it. Are you with me? Say, I'm with you. Raise your hand. I'm with you. Good. That's important. Because when we all leave in a minute, we want you to be with us. All right. So you are going. So you turn the wheel of the car and you follow the light you have, right? All right. Just that's the way faith works. Now you say, but I don't have. Okay, I got faith. It's in the Bible. I agree, and I think you should follow it. But Brother Bobby, here's my trouble. I ain't got much. I know the grammar's not right, but my wife isn't here, and I just love to say things like that. You say, I ain't got much. I don't have much faith. I'm not a Billy Graham guy, you say. I'm just teeny weeny little faith. I just got teeny weeny little faith. What shall I do? You got birthday candle size faith. You just take your little teeny weeny faith and you just take little teeny weeny steps. That's the trick. You just follow the light you've got, right? Faith. That's how it works. Now watch this. Watch how it works. This is you. This is me. This is everybody in existence. Because God's given every person a measure of faith. And so here we go. We just take our teeny weeny faith and we start following it, right? Right? And then we just keep following it. Now, the interesting part about it, as we follow it, it gives way to more light. And that gives way to more light. But the one thing is interesting is you never know where you're going to go. That's the thing. So you will go around to some really, really interesting places. My soul. Oh. But you just keep following. And you'll run into some interesting people along the way. But you just keep following. Sometimes you will come to obstacles. When you do, you just keep following. You just keep following. Because you're following in faith. And sometimes you'll have hardships and difficulties and struggles. But you just keep following in faith. And then usually, when you least expect it, it happens. And you discover that you're home in heaven. And you say, whoa, how did that happen? And you look back over your life and you say, I've come this far by faith, trusting in the Lord. And you'll look over your life, I suspect, and you'll say, how did I ever make it here? How? Why, I remember when cancer came. How did I make it? Just kept following by faith. I remember when divorce came toward our house. How did we ever make it? just by faith. Oh, I remember two teenagers. How did I ever make it? Just by faith. Just by faith. I remember when we had no work. How did we make it? Just by faith. I remember when we didn't know where the next meal was coming from. How did we make it? Just by faith. And how did I get here? Hallelujah! I made it! Praise God, I've come this far by faith, trusting in the everlasting God Almighty. And here I am at last, home, home at last. Oh, Lord, thank God. I didn't wait any longer because my hope was in Thee. Amen? That's the way it works. That's exactly the way it works. Wait. Don't take up my preaching time. Wait. Watch this. Don't miss this. How you doing? Don't miss this. Here you are in church. I'm over here in the pew. You're in church. I'm about to give the invitation. We're all going to stand. Same way you do it every week, except today's different. Balcony, I'm talking to you. It's different. Today, you know what you need to do. You know. You knew that before you got here. You didn't need me. But today, we're going to take our little candle. We're going to trust God. And we're going to say, this aisle is going to look like it's 800 miles long. It's going to be scary. You may be tucked away in the middle. You say, excuse me, I'm coming out. And they know what to do. They'll move over. You just come out. And you start by faith coming this way. Now, that's why the public invitation is just critical. That's why you want to be in a church where they give a public invitation. It's critical. Because get this, class, get this. If you cannot stand up in here, listen to me now. If you cannot stand up in here among these good, friendly people who've been down this way and who love you, if you can't get up and move around in here and take your stand, you ain't got a dog's chance out there. They'll eat your lunch. This is the crowd that's on our side. These are our friends. Let me ask you, church, if a senior adult couple came down to take their stand this morning, or a single young man or young lady, or a couple of teenagers, or a 9-year-old kid, or a married couple, or a single adult, if they came down this morning, would you be glad they came? Would you give them a hand? Just give them a hand right now if they come. Now listen to me. Nowhere else on the face of the planet today will you ever get that assurance. But you do here. You do here, and you do now. And I'm pleading with you this morning. Take the step of faith today. Trust Him. Begin to take the light you have and follow it. In the balcony, I dare you, I double dog dare you with no dares back. And that's the worst you can get in North Alabama where I grew up. Be first. Surely there's a man in the house. Don't always send a woman and children ahead. Surely there's some men in the house who will say, I'm doing what I know I've been wanting to do for a long time. Not because I'm preaching. I'm just offering the opportunity and some reason to go with it from the Bible. Ladies, don't wait. You haven't waited before. Don't let us down now. Come. Children, give the rest of your life to Him. You'll never be sorry. Don't fool around like some of us old codgers and blow your life's best part and then come limping in toward the end. It's better to get in at the end and not at all. But young people, give all your life to Christ. Amen. Let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Don't run for the door. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Don't start fooling with your stuff. Don't start getting your stuff together. Don't do that. That's not what we're doing. We're getting ready to take our stand for the Lord. If you're in the house now and you say, Brother Bobby, honestly, heads bowed, eyes closed. Brother Bobby, I don't know for sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. But I want you to pray for me. I'm not going to come back to you. I won't put you on the spot. I just want to know if there's anything praying. You say, Brother Bobby, pray for me that I'd know for sure if I died out here today, I would go to heaven. I don't know for sure, but would you pray for me? Would you just raise your hand and put it right back down? You don't have to hold it up. I'm not coming back to you. I see one. Do that one more time. Raise your hand. Just put it right back down. You can put it down. Two, three. And I know there are more. You just don't know where this is going. And I'm new and different than that. And so it's a little, you know, you're not sure. I understand. But whether you raised your hand or not, make this commitment to the Lord here and now. Say this to him in your heart. You don't have to say it out loud. Say it to him now, though. No matter how old you are, how young you are, anything like that, this is time. This is it. We're not waiting any longer. We're not going to wait till it's too late. We're going to take our stand now with Jesus. Say this to the Lord Jesus. Dear Jesus. Say that to him. Dear Jesus. He is dear. He's precious. Blessed. Dear Jesus, please forgive me of all of my sins. Say that to him. And I repent of my sins. I don't want to do them anymore. I'm ashamed of them and sorry for them. Say that to him. Then say this to him. Say, Dear Jesus, please come into my heart, into my life. Save my soul. Say that to him. Jesus, save my soul. And then say to him, take over my life. Be Lord of my life. Be Lord of my life and live in me. And then say this to him. Jesus, help me to follow you in faith. If you prayed that prayer just now and you meant it, would you just raise your hand? I prayed that prayer and I meant it. God bless you. You settle it today. I want to urge you. The pastor's going to be here. I'm going to be down here at the front. I want to urge you, if you prayed that prayer just now, I want you to come and take one of us by the hand and say, I've settled it today. I've settled it today. Don't be afraid to do that. Some of you, you need to go ahead and do what you've already been thinking about. You, like I said earlier, you didn't need me. You want to take a stand in this church. Some of you have other reasons to come. You come now. No more delay. Father, help us now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you look this way? What are we going to sing? Come just as you are. Can I make you a promise on that? If you'll leave that pew and come just as you are, you will not go back that way. You'll be different. If you'll come as you are, to Christ today, you will not leave. You will not go back to that pew the same way, and you won't leave this parking lot the same way you came in. But it's, what's the first word? Come. That's it. And now, Lord, what wait I for? Nothing. I'm coming. All right, let's all sing it. This is not going to be a long invitation. Don't make me or us an auctioneer of the gospel. You know what to do. God help us. That's as clear as it is ever going to get. All right? Just come. Balcony. Bail out of there. Come on. Down these steps here. Adults, lead the way. Men, charge for the kingdom of God. Bring that family with you. Today is the day. Today is the day. Amen. Here we go. Sing it now with all your heart. Right here, right now.